Episode 423, After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Before I get to anything, do you know anything about this eclipse coming up?
I don't.
Have you heard about it?
I didn't. No.
You have not heard about this solar eclipse that's coming up?
No. Tell me about it.
Like, there's a solar eclipse that's happening that's going to be like a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Now, I know we've had eclipses in my lifetime. I've known of solar eclipses, but there's something about this one that I don't care to really research that much. The glasses are being sold already.
What do the glasses do?
Prevent you from going blind.
Oh, okay.
Because of, what are you saying, that this is like a myth or something? This isn't real? This isn't COVID, Craig. This is a solar eclipse. Okay. This is actually real.
Okay.
And you supposedly can go blind.
Yep.
If you
I've heard that one before. I've heard that one with the solar eclipses through my life when I was a young kid, that you can't look at it, you're gonna be blind. Well, guess what? I looked at it. Still seeing stuff, so
a total solar eclipse will take place at the moon's ascending node on Monday, April 8th. A solar eclipse occurs when the moon passes between the Earth and the sun, thereby obscuring the image of the sun for a viewer on Earth. A total solar eclipse occurs when the moon's apparent diameter is larger than the sun's, blocking all direct sunlight, turning day into darkness. It's a pretty big deal. So the other thing I need to mention about this, and the reason why I'm bringing it up, is all the Seneca properties, so Allegheny, Buffalo Creek, and Niagara, they're having special events to commemorate the eclipse. So there'll be prime viewing areas available to watch, and it's from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. I'm into it.
Listen, you going to buy those glasses?
I have four pairs.
Okay.
I have the glasses already. They're in my car. They're selling them at the gas station.
Well, listen, two for you, you let me know how that eclipse is.
No, we're doing a show that day.
Not a freaking chance, buddy.
It's called After the Eclipse. I want to see if the NHL scheduled any games on April 8th. They should cancel all games. What went right last night in that game? I mean, Tuck got him off early. Nice breakaway backhand five hole. Got him going early. I mean,
incredible speed on Tuck. And when you score 1 minute into the game,
it's a very different scenario for this team.
Right.
You know, it's so used to being the other way.
Well, there was a really a long period of time, a couple months, where the Sabres were getting scored on not only in the first period, but not only one goal. There was games that were two, three, even four goals in the first period. But this changes the dynamic of the energy and the thought of the players starting this game. When you're up a goal, just takes pressure off everyone. You know, high fives going around for Tucky and, you know, his blistering speed. And they came back hard, but they just couldn't catch him. And that's what we need from guys like him. These are important, important goals. You know, I know that we scored seven, but that goal last night from Alex Tuck energized and really helped this team get off in the right direction in a very, very big game.
All their goals, even strength, which I think is
not all of them, I don't think, right?
Every single goal was even strength. Well,
really,
I'm not talking about Detroit. I'm saying the Sabres. Lucas Raymond's goal was power play, but the Sabres were all even strength.
Okay.
Tuck's even strength. Byram even strength. How about Zach Benson's night?
I think, you know, we've spoken about him, and he plays the game the right way. He's honest. He's the hardest working player on the ice every single night. I don't think there's been a night. I'm not even joking. You can put Rasmus Dahlin in there and Tuck and Thompson and Cousins and all our big boys. I don't think there's been a player that has consistently given the effort of Zach Benson on every single shift that he's been on for. And you know, the amazing thing about him is, I'm not 100% sure. He had 3 points last night. Obviously,
he has not had a point in 7 games.
Okay. And before that, he was on a stretch where he had not had a point for quite some time, too.
And I wasn't saying that to be critical. I was saying that, like, how nice is that to go 7 games without a point and then have a 3-point night, your first 3-point night in the NHL, by the way.
In a lot of those games that he played, though, he had glorious scoring chances. Like, I mean, clear cut, perfect scoring chances that I always think, and it's happened a lot to him. Like, I don't know how many goals he has this year. What is he around?
Take a guess.
8, 7. Okay. He easily could have 15. Easily could have 15.
Oh, he
right
had
now.
That. I
he
mean,
just
you
got
go
snake
right back
bitten
to,
a little
right
bit.
Back to game one when he had that scoring chance on the left side, left side of the net. He had a prime scoring chance. It was his first, I think, his first shot on net in the NHL. I mean, in game 56 of year 8, probably scores that.
Yep.
You know, game one, 18 years old in the NHL, you know. So I agree with you. And in fact, you can say he could have 15, but you could easily say he could have more than that.
Yeah, I'm when I say 15 and he's got 7 right now, man, he has had really, really, really good opportunities to score goals and just hasn't been able to find the net yet. Now, maybe that has to do with a little bit of maturity and a little bit more confidence in sniping that thing in the proper spot. But he's had opportunities. He lives around the net. He takes a beating. He fires off into the corner. He's feisty. But his skill level is very impressive. It's very impressive. He's kind of a very, very young Casey Mittelstadt in the way that he maneuvers and protects pucks. He's very, very confident having the puck on a stick with traffic, with guys around him, with guys that, you know, are putting pressure on him. He's very good at protecting it. But an awesome night. And I'm going to tell you this. I thought Dylan Cousins, I thought Jordan Greenway and Zach
Jordan
Benson
Greenway,
last night were absolutely fantastic. It's clear. It's a very clear picture that after the game, I thought Jordan Greenway was an absolute monster last night. And to not talk about his game last night would be a disgrace to this show. He was super physical. He smoked some guys throughout the game. He made some beautiful, beautiful plays. He was energized. I mean, you get that from Jordan Greenway. Holy jumping, man. That is exactly what you want. I thought he played really, really well last night. And I think the chemistry with those three, it looked pretty darn good. It looked pretty darn good.
You know, I feel like today, listening to the radio around town, it's like a big Bills win on a Sunday. People are feeling good about this. I mean, the way they're writing about it, talking about it. Yesterday, we had a conversation with Thomas about, can this team make the playoffs? He laughed at us about saying this is the biggest week of the season. Laughed at me.
Who said that?
Thomas, who's laughing at me. Remember?
Yeah. Well, I was kind of laughing at you too, because I mean, when you sit there and you talk about this team making the playoffs, it has been so far-fetched for so long.
Now, how you feeling today?
We're March 13th. It's mind-blowing. We're March 13th. And for probably the first time this entire year, the 2023-24 season, this is the very first time that I actually believe that this team could pull off something just so stupid, it'd be off the charts.
Go look at the standings. You have to win Thursday.
Yeah, but that is the mindset for almost every single game the rest of the year. Now, I know that the next two games...
Then you're going to hear it until they're mathematically eliminated. But that have to win is going to be the emphasis on have to is going to get stronger and stronger each and every game. But Craig, if you go look at the standings, it's a must win.
It is the most critical game that this team's played in a very, very long time. Okay, you're talking about maturing. You're talking about understanding the situation. You're talking about what happens if you win and what happens if you do not win. If you don't win, you're really sealing your fate. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games.
Yeah. Yeah, the Sabres have been playing well too. I know we sit here and joke about, you know, not winning three in a row. They have done it once this year, but not winning, you know, you win two, lose a couple. But if you go back and look at their last stretch of games, they've put together some wins, which is why they're in the situation that we're even having this conversation.
The Sabres right now are 31-35, okay, with 67 points. They're 5 points out of a wild card spot. I don't
say
think
that again. They're what? They're 31,
35. 30, and 5.
Oh, okay. 31.
Five losses in overtime.
You said 30 and 35.
30 and 5.
Okay, got it.
They're over 500. You know, their goals against average, for an example, the Washington Capitals are ahead of the Buffalo Sabres. Their goal differential is minus 27.
You know who they play tonight?
Who?
They're in Edmonton. You need Edmonton to kill them.
Excellent.
Need Edmonton to kill them. That's a game that matters. Like, that's the thing. When the Sabres aren't playing, they're playing every night. Their points are shifting every single night. Sorry, I cut you off, but you mentioned Washington, and I just wanted to remind you that they're in Edmonton tonight.
You're gonna understand where the Sabres fit a lot more in the next 5 games. The 5 games are going to be a real telltale sign whether this team has an opportunity to push to the end. Okay. You're going to see other teams around them, the Islanders, Detroit, even for that matter, Tampa Bay, I don't think is guaranteed anything right now. You know, Washington, New Jersey, Pittsburgh, they're all in the hunt. There's a number of teams in the hunt. I would put 7 teams are in the hunt for 2 spots right now. One of these teams, 2 of these teams are going to get hot. It happens every single year. And I know that the Sabres are on the outside looking in, but why not them? They haven't gotten hot at any point in this season. They've been consistent in only one thing, and that's being kind of average. Lose one game, win one game. Lose one game, win one game. But what if this team can put something together and go on a run and gain some confidence? They have the goaltending right now. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen right now, to me, he's walking around with King Kong balls, man. I mean, he is awesome. I believe me, I've played in front of goaltenders that are confident and know how good they are. And man, as a defenseman, as a defender in front of that person, your game elevates. Your game elevates because of the person behind you and how confident that man walks around and what he exudes around the dressing room, in practice, in games. You're almost like, holy shit. I mean, we're not losing this game because we got this guy behind us.
Well, that's what every single client of Salino Law thinks. They're never going to lose. They have all the confidence in the world in their attorneys to get the job done, to fight the insurance companies, to get them what they deserve for their injury. So if you need a personal injury attorney or have been hurt in a car crash, call Salino Law. Call the 888-888-8888. Car crash, call Salino. When it comes to Luukkonen, think about 1 year ago, what his mindset was about his future, and then today, 1 year later. And if you go back a year, I mean, I might have said, I don't know where he's going to be in a year. He's not going to be here. He's somebody else's problem. And You have all the Devin Levi talk, and Devin Levi at this point last year was starting to have the, you know, the college playoffs, and is he going to sign when he's done, and how many games is he going to play? And then I think he got like 6 or 7 games last year down a stretch where, you know, the team was trying to make a playoff push. In my opinion, I don't think Kevin Adams saw this coming, and we've already talked about this at some point, but my God, he has...
No one saw this coming. Nobody, not a person on the planet saw this coming. This is just something that for right now, with the debacle that they had at the start of the year with their goaltending, the 3 goaltending system, which is an absolute joke, not having a number one goaltender and a franchise having a thought that their realistic goals were to make the playoffs was the biggest joke ever, because you don't go into an NHL season without an NHL goaltender, without a number one. Now, it was such an improper choice that it's like Kevin Adams, you know, laying golden eggs right now, you know, like, I'm sure if he had to do it over, he'd probably do it differently. But what's happened in this is basically a guy that at the start of the year, because Comrie ended up beating out Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in training camp, Devin Levi was given the keys to the city before he even got here. So you had 2 goaltenders at training camp that were competing against each other. Comrie outcompeted. He was the better goaltender in training camp. And now you have a goaltender that's 24 years old that they're in a bit of an issue because they don't want to send him down. He could get picked up on waivers. So now you have to hold a 3 goaltending tandem, which is not good. Ryan Miller spoke about that when we talked to him. It's never good. You want goaltenders in a rhythm. You want goaltenders taking as many shots as possible and gaining that confidence in their work ethic and practice, and then taking that to the games and playing, and not having an understanding of when your next game is going to be because there's 3 guys was just a complete failure. That being said, all of that, you have clearly found a number one goaltender in the NHL. You've clearly found it. And
Is he your future goalie? I mean, this is the question, right? I mean, that's where the predicament lies.
So what other option do they have, do you think? Like, what's the other option?
I don't know. I mean, if I'm Devin Levi,
think it's clear as day?
Devin Levi, I think I'm a little rattled.
Well, Devin Levi should have never been put in the situation to be up here.
But in his mindset, he was probably given the idea that he was going to be the goaltender starting for 24-25 anyway. That's at least the way I saw it happening or trying to be unfolded in front of our eyes, was that he would be the full-time starter next year probably. Okay? So now what? Now what for Levi? Because UPL's proving he's going to play 50 games this year. We were asking for 50 out of him. We're going to get 50. What did he play last night? Was it his 41st game? I think it was his 41st game.
So he played.
He's got a 244 goals against and a .914 save percentage. These are major league numbers.
Yeah, they're really incredible numbers.
Really happy for this guy.
He's earned it. Is what this has all come down to. When you look at UPL, is you don't have to look any further than, you know, he's a player that was drafted 54th overall in the second round. Okay. And when he came over from Finland, he went to Sudbury Wolves of the OHL. And in his last year in the OHL, he was the MVP. Okay. A pretty special honor. first all-star, and he was player of the year that last year. So he makes his way to pro hockey, and he starts to deal with some injuries. He has the hip injury that he has to deal with, which I'm sure was not easy for him.
That last year in Sudbury, that was his only year in Sudbury. He only played 1 year in the O. He went there and won player of the year.
Yes. Yeah. Special goaltender. Came over at, 19 years old, played 1 year, and just absolutely shredded the OHL. Went to Rochester and dealt with injuries. He played some time, 23 games in the East Coast Hockey League, played in Rochester. I think that was the year that he had had his surgery on his hip. So there was a timeline there of him having to regain, you know, his health in his body, but to regain that playing opportunity. And it hasn't been that way. He's had to work his way through a few different years in the minors, a few different years when he got called up to the Buffalo Sabres. In 2021, he got called up, played four games. In 2021-22, he played nine games.
He was playing in Turku. Was that a lockout year? Or was that? No, that was COVID.
Yes.
Okay.
So he played four games that year in the NHL. The next year, he played nine. The next year, he played 33. Very impressive. And then 2023-24, he had 41 games this year, and he's finally, you got to realize, goaltending and being on a good team, they go hand in hand, right? Like, you remember Linus Allmark? It's a bag of shit when he was here in Buffalo, okay? He goes to the Boston Bruins, and he wins a Vezina. You figure that out? It's not that he got better. It's the players in front of him made his job easier and didn't maybe quite have the same scoring opportunities against him. You know, Robin Leonard was the same thing. Robin Leonard, you know, people wanted him out of here. Okay, people were furious that, you know, who is it that traded the first round draft pick for him? I still to this day think that Robin Leonard was a good goaltender for the Buffalo Sabres. He was just on a horrendously bad defensive team, which exposed goaltenders. So what does he do? He leaves. He goes to the Islanders, and he has literally the best statistics in the National Hockey League. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So it's not just the goaltenders. It's about sometimes what's happening in front of you. And I think Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is a bit of both. Like, I listened to Donnie after the win last night. And he basically mentioned in the interview that the team in general has turned their attentions to playing more defense, to defending better, to understanding and working at that. They have players on this team that have no concept of defensive hockey, but they're learning, they're getting better at it. And it is clearly showing in, you know, they're starting to win more games, you know, since January. They struggled at the start of the year defending. Far too many goals being scored against them. But you can see a collective, you know, buy-in to playing better defense. And if that means a few extra goals and a few extra highlights that we don't get to watch on ESPN or the NHL Network, I'm fine with that, because you're going to win more games, and winning is fun. So I think that's important.
Yeah, well, this team knows they have the offense to score. So, I mean, if you can keep a team to two, like last night, that should have been 7-2. Then you only need three goals to win. And you have the players on a nightly basis and the offensive firepower to put up three goals every single night. Every single night. So I don't know what's taken so long for him to focus on that or even bring that to light. That should have been discussed at training camp. That should have been the team mission from the get-go. Congrats that you're doing it now. I hope it pays off. I hope it pays off because they're right there. There is actually a chance for them to do something special here.
You know what time of year it is? It's March Madness time, and I have two words for you. Hoops Hangout. Starting Thursday, March 21st through Sunday, March 24th, and Saturday, April 6th, it's the College Basketball Tournament Watch Parties at Seneca Niagara.
Catch college basketball tournament action with your friends during March and April in your one-of-a-kind viewing area at Seneca Niagara. To reserve your spot, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
Casey Mittelstadt, first goal last night with the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah. Good for him. You know, it's a matter of time before Casey heats up on that team. You know, Casey, when he was here, he was, you know, obviously when you look at the statistics and teams, you know, whether they come into your building or you go into theirs, they know exactly who the top point producer is. Casey Mittelstadt was the top point producer for the Buffalo Sabres. So he is going to garner a lot of respect, closing, being a little bit tighter on him. That's just what happens to the best players in the game. But now that Casey's in Colorado, he's got a number of players that are going to grab the limelight. You know, obviously Nate MacKinnon and Mika Rantanen are two of the most world-class players in the league offensively. So they're going to garner basically the top defending players against them every single time they're on the ice, which alleviates a little bit of pressure and a different players on the ice against Casey, which Casey's pretty special player. He's had a nice season and he will heat up. There's no question. I truly believe that he will flourish in Colorado.
Not even sure he has to with the firepower they have. He just needs to kind of blend in and contribute.
I mean, I don't think Casey wants to just blend in, right? I think Casey wants to play well. I think he wants to make a statement there. I do believe that. But
I have never been a Casey Mittelstadt fan of the hockey player. Don't know him as a person. Might have met him a few times. Right, I don't know him. I've never heard anything bad about him. I'm just talking about specifically the hockey player. He's a very good hockey player, and I understand that. So me not being a fan of Casey the hockey player, it has nothing to do with what his abilities really are. All I'm saying is I was never really a fan of Casey on this team. Okay.
And what were the reasons for you not taking to what?
Truth, soft and slow, soft and slow. And that was it. But that's not a personal beef I have with him. So my point of all this is just, I'm rooting for him. I'm really rooting for him. I want to see him do well. I want to see Bowen Byram do well. Obviously, he has gotten off to a phenomenal start here in Buffalo. But I want to see Casey do well. I have no ill will toward the person or the player. He's just not what I wanted here. You know, there have just been times where things have happened where I've just said kind of like, you know, he's not going to change. You know, he skated out of that scrum in Toronto. That's who he really was as a player. That's fine. Great passer. That's it. I mean, it's nothing bad. I mean, great, great hockey player. He's a great hockey player. He's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah. Well, he's a heck of a player, and he's grown into a very good player. I agree with you wholeheartedly that, you know, Dylan Cousins and Tage Thompson are our two top centers. That's just, it's the way it is. For me, it's going to be interesting to see how Peyton Krebs deals with the last 17, 18 games that he plays, see if he can gain confidence in his play, see where that takes him, and then to see if Kevin Adams chooses to make a decision on moving a player like Peyton Krebs out? Or does Kevin see value and see, you know, something in the future that Peyton Krebs can take advantage of that situation?
Can I just tell you that there are people that want us to talk about the fact that the players do not stick up for their goalie? Should Victor Olofsson even play after that? Ever again for this team? He should be taking
Victor Olofsson? Victor Olofsson? What do you mean?
That's what they want. This person is particularly pissed off at Victor Olofsson after the goalie got ran over.
Let's talk about the first one. The first one was bad. The first one was a clear cut attempt to ruffle the feathers of not only the goaltender, but the entire team. He did that for a reason. Okay. You have 6'6" defenseman standing directly 1 foot from this guy, basically body slamming the goaltender, and nothing is done. Not even a push, not even grabbing the guy's collar and yanking him off your goaltender, nothing. I don't know why we're going after Victor Olofsson on this. I think, who is the other defenseman on the ice with, it was Jacob Bryson, I think.
Bryson.
He was 2 feet on the other side, basically looking straight at this guy. And here's the thing. Everybody, it's the thought process. This is what's different. And this is, I'm going to tell you, coming from a defenseman who has played maybe in a different era, my thought process, and I think, what was the score at the time, Petey? Do you remember?
No.
6-2, something
enough,
like that.
It was enough that it wouldn't have meant anything if they got shorthanded.
Yeah, exactly. My point exactly. You know what I would have been thinking? Penalty minutes. That's what I was thinking. Fighting major. I would have grabbed that guy, ripped him off, and basically just started throwing punches on him. Ask him to fight. That's what would have happened. But
can that take a?
I mean, I can't.
Can that take a game like last night? Do you think and make the team feel differently about each other?
No.
Does
I don't
get
think
said
so at all.
In the locker room after that last
night?
No,
I don't think anyone's being said. Oh. They're pretty happy with the 7-3 win, and they're gonna kind of push that to the back burner of things they need. But I mean, some of the players, I'm going to tell you, like I've talked about Florida. There's so many teams out there that in a 6-2 game, if that would have happened to their goaltender, it would have been a
30 minutes
shit
to
show.
Finish the rest of the game.
It would have been a shit show.
Yeah.
Absolute shit show. There would have been a clear cut sign back to the other team that, oh my God, not a friggin' chance. We're going to try and kill every one of your players. Patrick Kane, he better not step on the ice because he's going to get killed. There's just none of that. Like this team, again, they're super skilled. But they're just, I can't blame Owen Power. I'm just at the point where it's like, I can't blame Owen Power and I can't blame Jacob Bryson. Like neither of them have ever had a fight in their entire life. So what are they going to do? Why do we expect that? Why are we getting angry at players that are clearly Victor Olofsson? What the hell is Victor Olofsson going to do? Like, why are we blaming Victor Olofsson? We should not be blaming any of these players.
Standing there,
Petey.
And I'm just like, oh,
Andrew, can I just finish?
God.
Just let me finish.
Your hair looks fucking great, though, Owen.
Just let me
you
tell
could
you
honestly,
something.
This guy could wear his fucking glasses under his visor, and they'd never get scratched.
Probably.
They'd never get scratched.
But that's not on him. It's not
Fuck
on
you.
Victor
Yes, it is
Olsson.
on him.
It's
not
not
on
on
him.
Victor Olsson.
Oh, bullshit.
It's not on Jacob Bryson.
Well, then you know
it's
what?
It's not on Henry Yoki.
Then I guess, you know what?
It's
I guess.
not on Jeff Skinner. It's not on these guys. What are you talking about? It's not on JJ Paterka. It's not on them. It's not on them. That's how this team was built. They don't want that. It's very clear.
Craig, every time something happens, you know why that happens? Because the players know that no one's going to do anything.
It happens in every game, though, Petey. It happens. But I go on sports programs and watch either clips that people are sending, like, holy shit, there was a 5-on-5 brawl at the end of the game last night.
Yeah, see Anaheim, Chicago? Radko Gudas throwing uppercuts at a guy. Everyone's helmets are off. The gloves are off. Anaheim's getting killed. Chicago's rubbing it in, and fucking all hell breaks loose. There was another one the other night. I mean, here's a play right here in Philadelphia where a guy gets bumped into the goalie, and after he gets up, he gets cross-checked back down to the ice.
They don't have the players. Zemgus Girgensons not going to do it. He's fought like, I don't know, he's fought like a couple times in his entire career, which, you know, Eric Robinson is not a fighter. He's not going to do it.
I'm going to go through the whole roster. We don't have to go through the whole roster. We know.
Okay, but like
it doesn't,
90%
but here's the thing,
of the
though,
roster.
Drew Stafford, we talked about this with Van one day. Drew Stafford wasn't a fighter. He fucking fought Chris Neal. You know why? Because Chris Neal elbowed Chris Drury in the fucking head. Okay, he also fought some other guys. I saw other guys fight other guys. I saw Brian Campbell fight Umberger, a fucking Soupy Campbell. I mean, I saw guys do this that didn't do it. I saw guys fight that didn't fight.
You have
I saw
to understand
chicken shits
something.
Fight that. I saw chicken shits fight that fought because they knew they had to. They didn't have a choice. Like Owen Power.
Why didn't they have the choice?
Pardon?
Why didn't they have a choice? Drew Stafford had a choice. Whether to go and fight literally one of the toughest guys in the league, he had a choice. Why did he choose to do it?
I don't want Owen Power on my team.
Okay. Just answer the question.
Because they didn't have a fucking choice. Because they had guys that if he doesn't do something, something would have been done later to him.
So just let me clarify for the people. Drew Stafford did that because it was expected of every single player, no matter who you were. Would that be correct?
Say it's safe.
That's what it's all about. There's team toughness. Drew Stafford, if he didn't do that, would have been verbally abused by players on the team the next day at practice. Because that's just not how you do things. So there wasn't a thought in Stafford's mind not to go and do what he had to do. On this team, who's going to keep anybody accountable in that side of the game? We're not talking goals and assists. We're not talking offensive plays. We're not talking power play or penalty kill. We're not talking, you know, how the team defends. We're talking in a point of the game where it's just part of the game, which the Sabres don't have. They don't have a lot of it. They don't have guys
don't
that
have
would react to that. It's a 6-2 fucking game. You would think that the gloves would be off pounding the shit out of that guy. I'd try and knock his freaking teeth out. I don't give a shit if they kick me out of the game. Big fucking
mindset,
deal. We're winning 6-2.
The mindset is, oh, maybe we'll get a power play, get a point. We're going to get a power play, get a point. I'm gonna make them pay for it in the power play. That's how we're going to make them pay for it these days. Hey, boys. We'll make
See, I don't get angry at it anymore.
Power play. What?
I don't get angry at it anymore.
I'm not angry.
I read the tweets last night. People are losing their shit. I had five different buddies that were watching the game and beside themselves.
Yeah, I have friends
super
watching the game
off.
Too. Message me. Hold on. What's this one? I think Power needs to go after Fisher when he comes out of the box. How does he stand there and do nothing with a 5-1 lead?
Who has to do that?
My buddy messaged me that about Power. But, I mean, now he's saying that because that's to save face, but he's not saying that like he actually expects Power to do anything about it. Here's one. Former teammate of ours.
Oh, boy. Let's hear it. You can't read it?
I can't even read it. I can't even read it.
Okay, read it, but take out the swear words.
Do you want me to tell you exactly what it says?
Yes.
I didn't even see this one till just now, actually. Okay. This is from a former teammate of ours. I'm so mad at this team right now. I'm going to go on YouTube and watch the video of your brother speed bagging Kevin Adams.
What?
My brother fought Kevin Adams years ago in a preseason game. Oh, that's funny. That'll do it for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Don't forget, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com for more information about Hoops Hangout and the Solar Eclipse events coming up.